Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, I'm talking with George Gachui. He's the co-founder of a startup in Kenya called Mook. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you?
Yeah, good to see you again. We were hanging out a couple weeks ago, and now I'm back. I'm back here, and I'm jet lagged. And I hope you're enjoying the sun.
You had a long trip ahead of you, so I'm glad to hear you made it safe. We're waiting for you to come back already. We're planning your visa and a little trip out to see some animals. We got you covered.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Of course, when we talked, I told you I'm actually more interested in the people. The animals will do. The people are who is interesting. And when I met you, we were at kind of a startup showcase.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of really cool startups that are going on in Kenya, in Nairobi specifically, and Mook, M-O-O-K-H, at mymook.com is one of them. So what's the pitch of what Mook is?
Well, we're in an environment where it's I mean, for a long time people have referred to Africa as the developing world, and so we're at a point now where there's so much that is being developed in this developing world that is innovative, that is different, and that is made to accelerate the kind of growth that we have to what we see. So we, with the incoming of the internet and all that, we have been able to see so much more. And so even as we build and as we grow, our eye is on that. So Mook is a payment processing platform, and we focus on online payments, and our key customer is small to medium enterprises who are looking to start their online trade. So not a lot of the enterprises that are already making big bucks online, who are all the new small-scale businesses that are starting up that need to get online and need to start commercializing their businesses.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the States, when I want to buy something, I go online, I take out either my debit card, which comes from my checking account of real money,
yes,
or I have my credit card, which is borrowed money that I borrow a little bit every month and I pay back every month.
Yes.
Why can't I just do that?
Because you need to realize that we come from an environment where until, I'll say maybe 10 years, almost, if I was to give it a lot, 15 years, a large percentage of the population was completely unbanked. These are people who operated, and until today, some still operate no bank account at all, which means that obviously they have no cards to associate, and which means that even how they interact is either within the reach of somebody I can get to and pay cash, or nothing. And so we are working in an environment where when you talk about online payments, you're starting from the point where the customer or the end user is not holding onto a card. And so it's how do they get their physical cash into your online platform?
So the physical cash, of course, is not possible, and you're running around with different this currency that you can't do anything with. You don't have a card or a bank. Where do you keep your money? You keep it in a, like my dad would keep it in a jar.
Mm-hmm.
That's not scalable. You can't have my small business keeping my money in a pile somewhere.
So
where does the money live?
Believe it or not, until the 15 years ago, there was a lot of people keeping that money in the jar or under their mattresses or somewhere. And then as mobile phones came in and as technology started to come in, one of the craziest things that happened on this side, especially here in Kenya, was the mobile networks were bent on making sure every single person in the country, we have a population of about 40 million people, They were bent on making sure every single person has a mobile phone. And as they were doing that, the subsequent questions that came about is, what else can we give these people that they haven't had before by giving them a mobile phone? And one of those solutions was this thing called M-Pesa. Pesa is money in Kiswahili. So M is mobile Pesa. And they put a mobile wallet, which is what you would be used to if your bank offered a wallet or something like that. They put this wallet into the SIM card, which meant that every single phone, whether it was a feature phone or a smartphone, that got to all this 40 million people came with a wallet in it. And what that meant for trade is that now you have a way that once this wallet is adopted, how do we make sure that they can use this wallet across the board on online and offline as well to trade and make it a trusted option?
Ah, okay. So the couple things I'm hearing there that are significant is that the phone came that way. It's not like in the States where if I launch a startup, I have to go and download an app. Exactly. It came on the SIM. They went straight to the Vodafone, the Safaricom, the Vodacom.
Yes. And so your SIM came already with a menu in it that went to the SIM. And note that when we got mobile phones, by the time we're getting mobile phones, the internet was already advanced. By the time mobile phones were becoming big on this side, the internet had gone past what we'd call the baby stage or the entry stage that you went through in the States, where we started with an email or a dial-up connection or that. Now we started with the mobile phone as the primary channel for me to connect to everything. So on top of learning mobile and mobile payments, this is also when we learned social media. So the same time, for example, the Facebooks and those things were starting, is the same time that we're plugging into mobile. So the kind of apps we're getting into and the kind of interaction we have on the internet was not traditional in any way. We started with certain features that we considered basic. So the ordinary Kenyan considers the wallet in their phone as a standard basic feature.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And the amount of sign up is so minimal. Like I'm still trying to get family members to use Apple Pay, right, or contactless payments. But yeah. It's because it requires what we call in the UX world ceremony. Right, I have to go through the ceremony. I have to tell it about my credit card. I have to install my credit card, and then I have to do an authorization back and forth. Now, what if I lose my SIM or I get a new SIM? Can I move money between SIMs?
So once you, because this is a SIM built application, it means that it's already attached to your phone. If your SIM is off, if your phone is off, and you lose it, and you replace your SIM, it comes back with the exact same state it was before, the same contacts, same amount of money. And the most interesting thing to note about this M-Pesa is that there's all this agents and there's all this virtual modes to put in and take out the money. But what people actually trade is the next level of virtual money, because all I get is a text message on my phone that says, Scott has sent me 2,000 Kenya shillings. And for me, it's the complete trust in the fact that from this text message, if I went somewhere and went into my SIM application and went, for example, to an ATM machine, because then these things are plugged into several, or if I went online and I needed to do a transaction, if I hit send out of my text message, it will guarantee a payment. And that trust is what it has taken several years to build, but then that becomes the transformative part of business, because then people trust doing business on a text message. They trust that if I'm buying a product and I send you this and I get the text message confirmation, then it's as good as a done deal.
So let me ask a couple of ignorant questions. And actually, in this case, most of my questions come from a place of my own ignorance. What if I just copy-paste a text message? Of course, people can tell it didn't come from M-Pesa Central. Clearly this person copy-pasted it, trying to cheat me. I go into the SIM application. I confirm the money was not sent, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So you always can go back into the SIM and double-check?
You always have access to the SIM, and the SIM is able to give you balances. It's able to give you... So the same way you'd operate a bank and a mobile banking system, all those features are available in this little SIM application.
if you, let's say you and I are having lunch, you go to the restroom, you leave your phone, I pop your SIM out, and I run away. Have I stolen your money?
No, you've taken a SIM, but because it still requires a PIN, just like a card transaction, by the time you're about to finish the transaction, you'll need to put a unique PIN. And so, if I have your phone, but I don't know the PIN, I have no access to that wallet.
And then you can recover this money somehow.
Exactly.
This has been really interesting because as an iPhone user, I've had an iPhone for many years, I always thought, if you asked me, that I knew where everything was. Like, there's no corner of my iPhone that I don't know.
Yes.
When I was talking with you, you went to settings, then you clicked on phone, and you had a menu that said SIM applications, and my brain exploded. I told my boss about this, and he immediately went running to settings and phone, and he doesn't have that option. But when you click on it, these are apps that I assume run anywhere. They're little, Java, something. You know, you can take that SIM and put it in an Android phone, and you'll have the same app.
Exactly. And the benefit of it is that if I left Nairobi today and I was roaming to South Africa, or I came out to the States tomorrow, and I have my SIM card on roaming, I have the exact same access to the wallet as I do if I was at home.
That's powerful. And this is where I think things get interesting from a social change perspective. Is this an augmentation of banking, or is this a reinvention of banking? Like, you're telling me that a business could even not have a bank account if they chose to.
So, for example, when we started conceptualizing MOOC, and this was, let's say, 5 years ago, what we were trying to crack is, how does the merchant who's selling, because if you're selling an item that's $5-$10, especially out in this market, a small denomination amount, this people, the consumer here is keeping up to $50 to $100 easily on their mobile wallet. The mobile wallet will let you keep up to $700 in the wallet.
Okay.
So, any small transactions that happen, if I need to buy airtime, if I need to buy a little thing, I'd rather use this mobile wallet than pull out the card that attracts certain charges that will be X percent. So, all those, because the transaction fees on the mobile, on this mobile wallet is, I'd call it minimal. It's less than 1% per transaction.
Okay.
So,
it's
a lot of the
fees.
Micro fees. So, a lot of the consumers would rather use this to pay than anything else. And so, when we were going online, we could have plugged into a Visa, for example, as our entry point for mobile payments and just kept going. Or we could have plugged into a Stripe, for example, or something like that. So, there are solutions out there that rely on the banking system. But when we looked at our consumer here, at least 50% of them are cut out by the fact that they do not have this card, so they're not in the formal banking sector. But they do have this M-Pesa and they do have the spending capacity. So for us, it was, this was an equal, if not more important channel than plugging into the traditional bank. And even today, if you look at our transaction volumes, at least 85% of that is coming from mobile versus traditional banking methods.
No, it's so interesting that while over here on this hemisphere, in Europe, you hear all this talk of Bitcoin, but from a user experience perspective, it's not user-friendly. It's like, I joke a little bit, it's like the Linux desktop. Everyone keeps saying that this is the year that the Linux desktop is going to happen, right? They've been telling me that for 20 years.
Yes.
Bitcoin is never going to be successful for the average, you know, Joe and Jane Kamau if it still involves giant globally unique identifiers and 2 gigabyte wallets. Correct. M-Pesa is, it works because its user experience is so simple and so clean. I don't see how Bitcoin, I mean, maybe it gets all of the news articles, but it seems like mobile wallets could be the future of banking and the future of money.
And the thing is, we're now operating in a place where, because of how close we've become to our mobile phone, you know, when you think about a Bitcoin, you think of something new, something different. When our users think about their mobile wallets, because of how they have their mobile phone in their hand every single minute of the day almost, it doesn't feel like you're introducing something new to them. It feels like this wallet is already a part of me if it's on my phone. And so you're not telling them about a new way to do business. You're telling them the thing that you already have is your guaranteed payment system. And that trust has taken such a long time to build that now you'll find people who would rather use that mobile payment system than use cash. And when you think about the business of online, where especially here in Africa, a lot of the online transactions relied on cash on delivery, which has its own drawbacks. For people to now trust another payment model more than they trust cash means that they're more willing to send you this mobile payment even before they get the item because they have a reference of it. If you do a wrong transaction or if you send money to the wrong person, there's a way to report it and have it reversed. So there's a system which the consumer has grown with, and this has completely changed the landscape of how they use the service.
Right. So the model, the user experience model, is cash. Like, if we have a question about how this should work, how would cash do it?
Exactly.
And let's do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a great article in businessinsider.com that talks about forget banks if Bitcoin is going to change the world, and this is the real competition, and it talks about M-Pesa. And one of the charts says the regions in the world that are in that are least in need of Bitcoin have the largest share of Bitcoin accepting businesses. It's flipped on its head. Europe and North America don't need Bitcoin. South Asia, South America, India, Africa need a new kind of currency. So rather than letting the Western world come up with this, they did it themselves. You did it yourself.
And the good thing is to see, and I mean, it's a good thing, and it's also the current challenge, and it's the thing to crack now. It's that within the African landscape, unlike in the States where between one state and the next state, the mechanics would be the same. The banking system is the same. The currency is the same, and all these other factors. When you look at Africa, you have all these countries where between me and Uganda, which is just a couple kilometers across, it's a different currency. It's a different mobile network. It's a different system of banking. And so, what you're seeing now is in all the big African countries, you're having little M-Pesas kind of mushrooming and becoming the mode of payment. So you're finding other countries starting to accept this mobile way of payment or this mobile way of moving money. And now the thing is becoming, how do we start to unify? Because if you look at the numbers of a combined African market as opposed to the individual little markets, if we're able to get one mobile wallet across that everybody uses, the same way that everybody uses Visa or Master or one of these other cards, then you have almost a billion people who will be transacting at less than 1% on a currency that is completely virtual and that lives on their phones and that they trust because it understands where they've come from when you compare it to the banking system.
So then, putting my brain in the brain of the audience who may be listening or maybe a fan of Bitcoin, and they might be yelling at their radios and their podcast apps right now, they may say, well, wait a second. The real problem then, the one thing that's going to hold M-Pesa back is that it's not open. It's owned by Vodafone.
Correct.
Has that been a problem as a user of this? I mean, building your platform on something that's owned by a company and not by the people.
Here's the thing about it. Vodacom own the biggest version of it, right? They own the M-Pesa itself. But the way in which that system works is what other networks have also replicated and built. Okay. And when you think about it, what they built as a wallet, if you look at what the core functionality of M-Pesa is, the amount of things that have stemmed out of it. So for example, to be able to trade online, we use a short code kind of M-Pesa as opposed to a mobile phone number. And the operation that has developed the little short codes and that manages the transactions online away from the mobile SIM card is something that has been developed and innovated by another set of developers outside of Vodacom. So as much as the application lives on the SIM card, there is the opportunity for developers to take this concept and start to adapt it into something that works in different ways. So like, what is being used online? What is being used at businesses as a till, for example, is all spin-offs of M-Pesa that just rely on the end user already having this money on their phone and needing to be able to pay. So what we're doing is innovating around this big idea. Imagine if you could innovate around the Bitcoin and create your own online version for the Bitcoin to be used in your system. It's the kind of environment we're playing in at the moment.
Mm-hmm. So you're not finding that it being controlled by Safaricom or Vodafone or Vodacom being an issue. You're still able to call the APIs you need to call, move the money around, and it's working out okay.
Exactly. And if anything, they're looking to us to be able to see what else can this little payment monster that we've built be able to do in other environments. So yes, we've gotten 40 million SIM cards already with this wallet. How can we make sure that they're transacting more? How can we make sure that as they grow, as they become more tech savvy, as they start to shop in different markets, how can we make sure that this platform can adapt? And so even as the owners of the platform, they're looking to the developers, and this is the benefit of a space with a big development community, is that there's all these kids who have grown up now using this mobile thing or seeing this mobile payment. It's not as new. The same way you felt when you first saw me play with the phone, these kids have grown up with that as their normal thing. And so even the way they're thinking of the future of payments is completely different and completely revolutionary. If you think Bitcoins is crazy, wait and see what will come out of Africa in the next 4 or 5 years. Because these kids have grown up with payments as a thing that happens naturally on their phone.
So what will they come up with? And already we're seeing bridges. We're seeing, you know, M-Pesa to PayPal and back and forth. People are being, the whole point is being able to move money smoothly. So then MOOC can enable a small to medium company. Yeah. If I am a business person and I want to take online payments, I sign up as a merchant with MOOC. I can do tickets for like an event, right? I could have like a one-time event or a musical event. I could sell my books, my PDFs, my digital content.
Correct.
Or even take donations, right?
Correct.
All on your platform. So all when I'm signing up, do I sign up for an account? And then how does the money get from my SIM into my web page? And then, you know, I don't see how that attaches.
So when you think about the businesses and when businesses move online, the first thing that you would want to collect as a business online is the data. And for us, it was how do we create a means that this data from the payments, so this person is going to pay from their wallet and send this virtual text. How do we make sure that this is coming into a dashboard that tallies with your product, with your sale, with your event? So they're able to see this by the money comes into an escrow account, which you're able to see in your dashboard, and you make a withdrawal the way you transfer money from, for example, a receiving account into your personal bank account. So this is the same way the merchant would do it, is that they sign up into a system that already has end-to-end payments plugged in. It has a shop set up. So if you're selling an event, you'd come, sign up, create your account. Within this account, begin to set up your event, put up your ticket prices, set up your promo codes. You're able to share this to your social networks. And this is sharing directly to a page that they can buy. So for us, it's always, there's a lot of marketing that happens online. How do you convert that marketing communication into an actual sale? So to get these people to see, click, buy, and then in the back end as a merchant or as a small business, be able to look at one dashboard where you're able to see this is the consumer who bought, this is their contact information, this is what they bought, they have been repeat customers once or twice before, and this is the amount of money they've paid, and I pay this much of commission, or this is how much I need to pay on transport, and the rest of it is available for me. But it's something they manage. And because from the system, from MOOC, they're able to move it, even as a business, back into their mobile wallets. So as the person who's selling, I could then see at the end of the day, I made $100, moved $100 to my mobile wallet. And that happens instantly.
Is there some JavaScript API that you're using? Like, how does the, am I doing this on my phone or can I do this from my desktop computer as well?
Well, 75% of our usage is on mobile. And so a lot of our system has been built mobile ready and mobile first as well. At the moment, some of the dashboards for the businesses are still very desktop heavy. But that is part of the development that we're doing now to be able to ensure that even as a merchant, you're able to use your phone to run and manage your entire store. But for the end user, for the customer, the entire experience is mobile.
Okay. Yeah. And then how does the browser on my Android or my my iPhone know that the SIM is there and authorize the money?
So it took us about 9 months to develop a small online API that we use. And what it does is by the form that you fill as you're making your transaction, and we have a system where we don't require the end user to sign up. It was a big cause for cart abandonment. So we took out that feature, and every time you want to buy something, you just put in your name, email address, and phone number. And off of that form, what the system does is that it will pick your phone number, it will pick the transaction details, you're trying to buy one ticket worth $5, and it will automatically link into your SIM application and pop up a menu that will say you're trying to perform an online transaction for this. Because you've put your number, it just reads into your phone number, reads into your SIM card, pops up a thing that prompts you for a PIN. And you put in the PIN and it automatically pulls the $5 out of your SIM wallet and completes the transaction online. And it's something you watch happening in real time.
So I'm up here on the site right now and I'm shocked that Blackstreet and SWV are actually playing.
They're playing in Nairobi tomorrow night.
I don't know how you got SWV to come down there, but I'm impressed. Okay.
And I'll tell you one thing. If you look at that directory, so we set up a small directory on our page because as much as we're not an aggregator, we wanted to have a spot where we can showcase all the different merchants that are using the platform. In the 1 year and 4 months that we've been in operation, we've had about 449 merchants sign up. Now, that's 449 new businesses that are going online for the first time, that are doing transactions online for the first time. They're bypassing the need for a physical brick and mortar store because some of these people are producing handcrafted bags, hair products, things like those that they are able to sell directly from manufacturing, send it to the customer without having to go and pay goodwill for a store in town and stuff like that. So being able to create that kind of impact means the future is...
Yeah. So I just tried to buy tickets. I must say the VIP is a little expensive.
It comes with a dinner and free wine, luckily, you know.
Is it dinner with SWV? Because 10,000 Kenyan shillings is a lot of money.
You also don't know when you're going to get to see SWV and Blackstreet out in Nairobi again.
I respect that.
So part of that is premium tux.
Unless they're coming to pick me up. I don't know, man. That's a lot of money. So I go in there. I put my phone number in.
Yes.
And there it is. I enter, I go to my M-Pesa menu, I select Lipa na M-Pesa, pay bill, business number, account number, I send my money, and then like you said, in real time, the money gets transferred, and then you broker the deal, and then I've got tickets.
You got tickets in your email, and we send you a ticket in your text message as well.
That is pretty slick. Are you going to the concert?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. They just landed in the country this morning, so...
Seriously.
I'm looking forward to this a lot, actually.
And they this has been in one country. Of I'm jet lagged. I don't know how they're going to do that.
they're used to it. This is what they do. And one of the best things about this platform is because we're a startup and we're super young and we've been building throughout the entire time that we've been live. A lot of our growth has been organic. It's been good gigs like this. A few months ago, we had Aloe Black here. We had Kool and the Gang here, and being able to do ticketing for them has opened up the avenue to be able to ticket for a lot more gigs. So today it's Blackstreet. Keep looking, you know, we're going to bring everybody.
That's pretty cool. So what does this mean, do you think, then, for, like, let's say Americans, let's say Europeans who are watching this? Are you all going to take over the world and we need to just get ready? Or how do we get involved? Does this mean that I can start taking, you know, integrating into my business and then exploring Kenyan commerce or African commerce?
I feel that the opportunity is in the fact that the internet that we're using now is global. And the same mm-hmm. things that you put out, if you're a small business in the States that's looking to sell, I'll put t-shirts or sneakers, which the culture is cuts across. If you're selling cool sneakers in the States today, the mm-hmm. Market or your audience is going to be half American or European, and another mm-hmm. part of it will come from Africa, because we have 1 billion people. A lot of them are young. A lot of them are in the same internet culture as everybody else. And if mm-hmm. you want to speak or tap into that 1 billion people, you're going to need a way that they can pay you and you can receive their payment and fulfill the order in a way that you're both trusting and trustworthy. And that way is not going to be a Bitcoin or a card, which have been in existence for the last couple of years and require adoption. It's going to be a format that will come from the 1 billion people up. And one of those is what we have now.
Very cool. Yeah. So folks can check you out at mymook.com. Learn about the platform and what you're doing. Thanks so much for chatting with me today. George Kachui, co-founder of MOOC.
Thank you, Scott. Looking forward to chatting a lot more in the year to come.
Absolutely. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.